Hi, Christian travelers. My name is Sarah.
And my name is Nathan.
And today we're going to explore the wonders of Brazil from a Christian perspective. If you've tuned in recently, you know last episode that Nathan joined us as a co-host, and I'd like to introduce him a little bit further on this episode. Nathan is my brother, and he shares my passion for travel and for the Lord. So we're really excited to have him here on the podcast, co-hosting with us, adding a little bit more humor, and joy to each episode. Nathan, can you tell me what has been one of the things on your bucket list for travel destinations that you really want to go to?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and I'm still getting the hang of this podcast thing, so a little rough, but we're making do. Some things I really want to go to Greece, like sailboating in Greece has been like a dream of mine. I really want to go see like the cliffs, the blue water. So going to Greece would be super cool. So I'm excited when, you get to talking about Greece. I'm definitely gonna have to tune in. Well, maybe I'll still be here, who knows? But yeah, have to hear about Greece from you. And then another thing is I want to go to Acadia National Park. This summer I'm looking forward to potentially going. That's on the eastern coast in Maine, so that's something really cool that I'd like to see as well.
Dude, sign me up for both of those trips, please. I want to join you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down whenever.
Sounds good. Well, today we're gonna be looking at Brazil, and I feel like I know about Brazil, but I also don't know about Brazil. That's my initial thoughts when I started researching this. How about you, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, I know a little bit about Brazil. When I think of Brazil, I also just think of like the World Cup, Rio Olympics. It makes me think of sports a lot. Like I'm a big soccer fan, so their soccer team's always good. And so that's my first reaction when it comes to Brazil, is almost like from a sports perspective.
Interesting. I am not a sports person, so I think more like dancing. I think a lot about their geography, and culture, but not their sports. So, this will be interesting to see how those different personalities merge on this episode.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to get talking about it.
Yeah. So, first of all, let's find Brazil on a map. Brazil is the largest country in South America, covering a really vast area. In comparison, it is larger than the 48 states of the United States. So, like the lovely
That's crazy.
contiguous region. Yes, it is. I don't know. I don't think of it. Geography and like space do not, geographical space is hard for me to understand. So,
Yeah, and
yeah.
I feel like when you see it on a map, it just doesn't look like it's that big. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know.
Yeah. Did you know that there's actually different types of maps that portray, because the Earth is a circle, a sphere. So when you have to lay it out as like a rectangle, a flat thing, it misconstrues its actual size and proportions. So depending on how you cut up the globe changes how countries appear on the map.
Yeah, for sure. And that's probably the case there. Isn't that why like Greenland is like super big on the map, even though it's
Yes.
not that big in reality?
I
Something like
think
that.
so. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
There's like different maps that like the northern and southern hemisphere like make them different sizes. It's a whole thing, and it's even turned into a political argument too about all kinds of stuff. But we're getting sidetracked, so I'm gonna take us back. We are in Brazil. It has many diverse biomes like the Amazon rainforest, the Pantanal wetlands and coastal areas. And the best time to visit, because it is so big, really varies by region. The Amazon has a wet season from December to May, while Pantanal has a dry season from July to September. And
So, if you don't mind me asking, so is the Amazon best visited during that wet season, or do you want to avoid it between December and May?
That's a great question. Let's Google it. A good catch there, bro. I meant to say that you probably don't want to go to the Amazon during the wet season, but what I found online was that you can really go for either. It just can be a lot more swampy during the wet season.
Okay, so maybe it kind of depends on what side of the Amazon you want to see.
Yeah, exactly. And as always, we have a Bible verse today to kind of help us dive into taking a closer look at this amazing country. And it comes from Psalm 104. It reads, "All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground."
Yeah, that's a really powerful verse. It just really makes me think, you know, it says, when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. And so you think about some of these like huge, scary animals, you know, the anacondas in the Amazon rainforest, and things that might scare us, but just to know that God is all powerful and that everything that they do relies upon God. And if God, you know, commands them to die, then that's literally what they'll do. So it's just really cool.
Yeah, kind of got a little bit of goosebumps there just thinking about how much we rely on the Lord and how much He sets out our paths for us, and maybe it'll take us to these unique adventures in Brazil. One of the things I also like to do is always kick it off with some questions, some reflection questions to get us thinking in preparation for our travels. Bro, do you have some questions for those that might travel to Brazil?
For sure. One that I had was, as we embark on this virtual journey through Brazil, what aspects of the country's culture or landscape do you hope will leave a lasting impact on your faith journey?
That's a really good question, and pertains a lot to maybe where my own heart was with Brazil. Brazil also has a really strong tradition of community and hospitality. How do you think that these values shape the Brazilian approach to relationships and daily life? And what can we learn from them and maybe even implement in our own faith walk with the Lord?
Yeah, that maybe even aligns more with my views on Brazil of being a country where you go to, you know, engage in their culture and sports and things like that. So,
yeah,
very interesting. Yeah.
We're off to a great start. So we also need to take a look then at their history, their culture, and what makes them super unique. So while neither of us have been to Brazil, we've done some research and we're excited to present this to you right now. So the official language in Brazil is Portuguese. And while English is not as widely spoken, especially in rural areas, urban areas and tourist destinations can have a lot of English speakers. They also have a largely Christian population. They are 49% Catholic, 26% evangelical, 14% have no religious beliefs, and 11% in the survey that was researched had no specific religion in general, which is slightly different than not having a religious belief.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. One thing that I had of note was that Roman Catholic clergy were part of the earliest European settlers in this area in the 1500s, and thus they brought their, you know, Catholic faith along. And I actually had a question for you. How do you think, like, that settlement by Portugal has really played into the religion of the country?
I think that it probably has kind of become... as you can see, Catholics are the largest religious population, and so I think that they brought some of their own traditions with them and their own beliefs, and those kind of have merged over the decades, the centuries, to kind of become what Brazil is today.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. I think it's definitely kind of merged in with the culture that was already existing there. So that's something that definitely, if you're visiting Brazil, is something that you'd be able to see, and something that'd be really cool to see as well.
Absolutely. So now we're going to talk about, let me grab my book. So over the last several episodes, we always dedicate a portion of this to talking about witnessing in your travels. While all of your travels are important, and whether it's to the grocery store or it's across the world for vacation or on a business trip, we always have the opportunity to share our faith with others. And part of that requires us understanding where different religious beliefs come from, and have some kind of understanding to set up those conversations. So I have this book called The Christian Difference, and I really love it because it really breaks down different beliefs that there are around the world. And it does a really good job of making it understandable. So I use this book, hold on, just awkwardly put that away. So I use this book to understand what it means to be spiritual but not religious. And in some of our episodes, we've gone deep into the history of this belief system. But today we're going to focus on some of their views around God, sin, and Jesus.
Interesting. And where did you say you picked up a copy of this book at?
I got it on Amazon. It was something that one of my ministry friends had recommended to me. So we actually went on a mission trip to Cambodia, and she used it to help educate us about some of the beliefs there. So it's kind of become central to this podcast.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go ahead and take a look at the first one, and that is God. What spiritual but not religious people, at least in Western culture, believe. This may not perfectly translate to Brazil, but it'll help give you some footwork. So oftentimes when they view God, they reject a concept of God because of God's gender, or they view God as a very demanding father figure who's very judgmental. And so they do not want to associate with that identity. And as Christians, we don't view him that way, but maybe what they've picked up from their understanding of Christianity has portrayed God that way. And then a law-based religious education without the gospel often skews towards a wrathful education of God, which we might see in our culture, whereas Exodus 34:6 says that God is slow to anger, and he showed us his love in great ways. So the way culture sees us versus what gospel says can be very different. They often have a buffet view of beliefs, picking and choosing a God of their own making. And they accept an idea of a divine dimension of universe that is impersonal, making God one and the same. Have you heard any of this in culture, Nathan?
I mean, I think that definitely is something that happens in culture, especially seeing God as more of like a demanding figure or someone who's judgmental. And I think it's important to note that us Christians aren't perfect, and so a lot of times people who are non-believers can pick up that idea based on the way they see Christians act and behave. And so if you've had that bad experience, we're sinners, but God is not. And so I think that's just really important to keep in mind, is that people are demanding, people are judgmental, but Jesus is not. In fact, he's the opposite. He died for you. And so I think that's really important to keep in mind.
That's a really important differentiation, and you put it into much more articulate words than I did. So thanks for driving that point home. Another area that they view things a little differently. So when it comes to sin, they often believe humanity is inherently good. We're taught that we're all sinful creatures, but they struggle to often label things as bad. And if there is bad, it's blamed on poor child rearing, psychology, chemistry, biology, just kind of different things other than the self. And many mistake scripture to teach that God is evil, that he condemns us rather than being made in God's image and made, but yet we've made our own faulty choices and we've sinned. Like, God made us good, but we've fallen away from that. We've chosen a path that is broken and sinful.
Yeah, and I think that is kind of hard to come to terms with, that we aren't inherently good. I think we all want to feel that we are good people at heart, but yeah, it's just important to know that everything comes from God, and so God loves us, and he created us, so it's important to remember that while we aren't initially good and we're sinful beings, that God died for us, or Jesus died for us, and so that sin is washed away.
Absolutely, and with Jesus and salvation, those are two topics that they also have some different views on. For instance, they view Jesus more as a good teacher, a guru or a spiritual guide, much like Buddha. And when it comes to salvation, they don't really see a need for it because, as we said before, they don't believe that they're inherently sinful. So there is no need for that salvation. And then they believe all religions teach the same thing, aka all religions can get you to God, which we know isn't what scripture teaches us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's something that I see even like here in the U.S. is that a lot of people do believe that any belief in any sort of God will get you to heaven. But of course, we know that Jesus is the one true way to heaven.
Absolutely. And with that, the afterlife, they often reject the idea of an afterlife, viewing it as unfair, misunderstanding heaven and hell as, misunderstanding heaven as a reward for works and hell as failure to do good works. And many believe in reincarnation or some sort of spiritual karma, again, celebrating the individual over what God has done for us. And we just know that heaven isn't this thing for our good works. It's a gift that God has given us that we can either choose to accept by believing or reject by denying that sacrifice. So now that we've covered some of the things that we believe, we need to again go back to how we can share our faith with them. And one of the places that I always want to start with someone who's spiritual but not religious is it's easy to get mad at that person, to get agitated with them and feel like their belief is a personal attack on us. But if we're mad at the person, Satan's won. We should be getting mad at Satan for the spiritual warfare he's putting on that person instead of at God's creation, this person that God loved enough to die for. And so with that in mind, some talking points I have is to pray for them and pray for the conversation beforehand. Remind them that God is personal and cares about their human affairs. He cares about what's going on in their life. That we all are broken and sinful. We've seen the corruption in the news. We ask them to identify some things that they see are faulty in our world. But then remind them that God didn't come to condemn us, but rather to restore the world to God, restore it to peace and to a relationship with the Lord. And despite our own rejection and the things that we've chosen or fallen away from the Lord, he doesn't reject us. And then we can also talk about how not all religions teach the same thing, and to treat them as such is disrespect to those individual religious beliefs. We know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, but to get to that point, we have to acknowledge that just as all cultures and individuals are unique, so are each and every single religion. And then also agree with them when they reject heaven and hell. If they say that it's based on works, say, you know what, I agree with you. And here's why. It's because it wasn't my works that get me to heaven. It was the love of our Savior.
That's an interesting perspective. I never thought of of wording it like that. And I think it's definitely important, like you said, to come out of a place of love. When people are doing things that maybe we don't agree with, or things that we know that God says is sinful, it's important that we're not attacking them for that. It's important to remember that Jesus walked with sinners. He walked with those that were considered unclean and scorned by society. And so if we can have that place of love for others, because we know that we also aren't perfect, that's really important. And I think that's really the start of having those kinds of conversations.
Absolutely. Well, so now we've looked at their religious beliefs, we looked at some of their own cultural practices. Nathan, can you share some things that would in regards to cultural etiquette that we should keep in mind while traveling to Brazil?
Yeah, so Brazilians are actually very friendly, and so be prepared always for a handshake or even a kiss on the cheek, even in a more casual setting. It's also appreciated that you learn some Portuguese. I know that we talk that they speak English in some of the more touristy areas, but it's not the most common language, and so just at least having some understanding of Portuguese would be really appreciated if you're visiting Brazil. In addition to that, we talked that they're very friendly, and so be prepared to have less personal space, as they tend to get like really close up and personal while talking with you. And good for me again, it's impolite to arrive on time to someone's household. 15 to 30 minutes late is the designated time, so hopefully I can make it there. In addition, Brazilians like to avoid conflict and raising their voices in public. And one thing I found interesting, and hopefully you can talk a little bit more about this, Sarah, is that you're not expected to bring a towel to the beach. What's that all about?
Actually, yeah, it's kind of a very clear you are a tourist if you bring a towel to the beach. I'm not sure why they choose not to, but I know what they bring instead. It's called a conga or a sarong, or sarang, conga or sarang. And it's basically a long piece of fabric, but it's more sheer than a towel. And you wrap it around your waist more like a skirt, kind of like decorative flourish, and then can use that to kind of dry off on the beach or just sun dry and then head home. So they don't bring towels, and oftentimes when you arrive, they also have chairs and umbrellas and things on most beaches already available for you. So you don't have to worry about bringing your towel.
Okay, and so when you bring that conga, is that something then you use as a towel, or can you still not put it down on the sand? Is that still not expected, or how does that work?
I feel like what I observed was that you more sit on the chairs than you do sit on a towel when you're there.
Very interesting. Learned something new today.
Indeed. So now the part that you've all been waiting for, and that is the five places that you absolutely must see in Brazil. And we're going to kick it off with the Rio de Janeiro. It's iconic for its stunning landscapes, and it's definitely a must visit destination. Explore the famous Copacabana and Ipanema beaches. Nathan, what do you think? How's it pronounced?
Copacabana, maybe?
Yes, I can't, it's a tongue twister.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to say.
Yes, but you can take a cable car up to the Sugarloaf Mountain for panoramic views and visit Christ Redeemer statue atop the Corcovado Mountains and embrace the lively atmosphere during carnival season, or experience the vibrant street life and music throughout the year.
That's really interesting. And you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Rio the movie. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I have.
Do you know they came out with the second one? Have you seen the second one?
I have not seen the second one.
Me neither. We'll have to watch it sometime. But I don't know why that pops into my head, but I guess it's just because it's Rio. But very interesting.
Yes. Okay. So what comes to mind is I didn't ever really know. as a Christian traveler, content creator, I always post these pictures all the time of travel and Jesus, and so I'm looking for new content. And all the time, the Jesus statue comes up, and now I know where it actually resides. I never knew. I was like, oh, that's really cool, but I never actually Googled where it is. So now,
really?
Now I know. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I guess I'll move on to our next topic. It's the Amazon rainforest. You can immerse yourself in the unparalleled biodiversity of the Amazon rainforest. You can take guided tours to explore the lush flora and fauna. And there's also a ton of different types of animals there that you wouldn't see typically around the U.S. or really in any other part of the world. You can go on a river cruise to experience this incredible wildlife and engage with local communities in the Amazon to understand their sustainable practices. Furthermore, this unique ecosystem offers a chance to marvel at God's creation in one of its most diverse forms.
That would definitely be something I would love to explore. I don't know. I've been to one rainforest, and that was very memorable, so I would love to go to the Amazon sometime.
Yeah, and I've actually been to Peru, and I think the Amazon stretches into Peru. I unfortunately didn't get to go to the Amazon rainforest, so that would be something really cool. I was right there, but I just didn't get to see it, so
dang.
That would be something that I'd like to visit someday.
Absolutely. Let's see. Next we have Salvador. Salvador is the state of Bahia. It's a city rich in Afro-Brazilian culture and history. You can explore the Pelourinho district with its colorful colonial architecture, indulge in local cuisine influenced by African traditions, and witness traditional capoeira performances. And of course, you can engage in cultural heritage of Salvador and appreciate the diversity of God's creation while you're there.
That's really cool. I really enjoy looking at architecture, so that's something that when I think of Brazil, I don't really think of their architecture, but definitely something worth checking out.
Absolutely. It'd be interesting to step back to colonial architecture and get to see just what different traditions have been brought there over the years.
Yeah, for sure, and how those traditions have kind of combined with the cultural traditions that were already in place.
Absolutely.
All right, so next we have Ouro Preto and the colonial towns of Minas Gerais. Transport your travelers to a bygone era by visiting this historic town of Ouro Preto and other colonial gems which reside in the state of Minas Gerais. This is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's known for that architecture that we talked about, some of the Baroque architecture, and some of its artistic treasures. Also, you can explore the cobblestone streets, visit churches that are adorned with intricate gold leaf designs, and look at the unique cultural blend of both the Portuguese and African influences, which is something we kind of just talked about earlier, how those influences are combining in this type of architecture.
It sounds like it would be a very majestic kind of place to go visit. Last but certainly not least, we have Brasilia. That is the capital of Brazil, and it's a unique and modern city that offers a distinct experience for travelers. Designed by architect Oscar Niemeyer, Brasilia is known for its innovative architecture and urban planning, also making it a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Did you know that UNESCO World Heritage Sites were based on architecture, bro? Did you know that?
I did not. That's actually very interesting.
I suppose it makes sense, especially if they're historical buildings, but I hadn't ever stopped to think about it before.
Yeah, no, I guess I don't even know really exactly the criteria for a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Yeah, that's definitely something we'll have to research and get back to our listeners on for our next episode. So as we're kind of nearing the end, I want to encourage you to think about how you can enhance your relationship with the Lord while you're traveling. And so some things that came to mind were attending local worship services and praising God in small countryside churches. spending time in God's word on the beach or in the rainforest, praying for peace and justice in the country, safety for indigenous tribes, and just that everyone may know God's love. And of course, we're going back to those reflection questions we talked about earlier and pondering in your own journey how God is working through the culture and the people to teach you a little bit more about him.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that I think is interesting is just to know that God takes so much pride and he loves what he's created. Like in Genesis, he makes the creatures and he saw that it was good, how he created the birds of the air and the animals on the land, and then he saw that it was good. And so just being able to view those things that God had so much joy in is just a really cool experience.
Yes, that is incredible to just know that he has joy in his creation, not only in, as you said, the amazing landscapes and the beautiful creatures, but he also has such a cherished love for us, and yet we're all so diverse, so unique, and I think that's one of the best things about travel. So with that in mind, after our review of Brazil, Nathan, would you visit Brazil? Would you add it to your bucket list, or what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I would definitely visit Brazil. It's a country that I've wanted to visit. I think it'd be cool to see, like, I talked about sports earlier and some of those like stadiums, event sites, and then the rainforest is something that's also really interesting. Something really unique. You can't see that anywhere else. So it's definitely on my list.
Yes, absolutely. I think I would totally want to go to the rainforest as well and the beaches. And then I will tag along with you for the sporting events, but I'm totally there for the landscape. Awesome.
To each their own.
Yes, to each their own. Well, Christian travelers, I hope that you've enjoyed listening today. If you're looking for someone to travel to Brazil with, if you're wanting itineraries or more details than we were able to cover in this episode, you can head to our website and christiantravelers.net for more information. It's in our directory and resource tabs. Or you can join some of the trips that other members on our site are planning or some of their communities. Currently, we have some women's retreats with Kenzie from Kansas, Immortal Rock Fest, Beach and Bible Study, backpacking to Ireland, Australia, Central America, and more. So you don't want to miss out. Head to christiantravelers.net to join that network. And if you want to chat with Nathan or myself, you can always email us at hello@christiantravelers.net. Well, let's go ahead and pray it out. Nathan, do you have any final thoughts?
Not right now. It was really cool to learn more about Brazil and looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this amazing country. It's so vast and so diverse, filled with everything from amazing sporting events to an amazing landscape and creatures. And Lord, we just love how you celebrate the little things. You celebrate your creation and you celebrate us. Lord, be with those in Brazil that they may know your love, and be also with anyone who's traveling there that they may have a safe journey just grow in a closer relationship with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Christian travelers, thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next time, safe travels and God bless.